This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series, official truck of the Red Sox. Looking at our monitor of the field, the
what we got?
Tarp is off.
Oh,
rain has stopped.
Check the, now, there is a very large puddle that accrued during the heavy rain in the late 2 o'clock hour.
We're good. The bullpen has been uncovered. There's activity in the bullpen. There's activity in the outfield.
Look at that. There's Bernardino.
Yep. So it's uncovered. So we're moving toward a potential debut for Peyton Tolley. Scheduled debut tonight against Paul Skeens. Very exciting. Very Friday Fenway buzz in the air.
What kind of pregame rituals you figure a guy like Tolley has? I got a
bites the head off a bat.
Maybe I don't think he eats a live animal.
Castrates a goat.
All right, so what if we just...
Ray Rugemer used to talk about that in the Patriots locker room.
He did?
Yeah, legit. We talk about castrating goats with his mouth.
Are you serious?
He talked about it. I don't know if he actually did it.
I imagine he probably didn't. Is he still with us?
Ray Rugemer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, if he did that, he probably...
Oh, this is awkward.
That's what I'm saying.
Just telling you what he talked about.
This is what
you hang out in clubhouses and locker rooms for hours at times. These athletes say weird things.
I was thinking maybe like, you know, Troy Percival famously used to like crush a six pack of Coke before he would come in and try to save the ninth for the Angels. Something along that line.
Rod Beck would crush a pack of cigarettes or something.
Didn't he just nail some beers and like rip some darts?
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I could see Peyton Tolley end of career doing that. Early on, if you saw the photo making the rounds on social media.
That looks like engineered nutrition.
Oh, my God. He is shredded.
That's like poached chicken, sweet potatoes, white beans.
He knows what he's eating. Yeah. His nutrition is on point. His supplements are on point. His metabolism is on point. His weight training is on point. Hopefully he's on point when he takes the mound.
6'6", 250.
He's big.
That's a unit.
Oh, that's a Hoss of the Week candidate for next week. Speaking of Hosses in the bullpen, that's Giolito. Doing some workouts. But yes, the tarp is off the field, so that's a nice step in the right direction. Nice. No longer raining. Hopefully this is a step in the right direction, because when we have new ideas here on WEEI Afternoons, some good, some bad, right?
Sure.
You got to break some eggs to make an omelet?
Right.
I'm hoping this is an omelet. So we came up with this idea because, you know, one of the things that I find interesting when you interact with people on social media, and we have takes, and we have three-point stances, and all of that is like, the reaction or overreaction to your stance and the stories of the day, the narratives that are kind of spreading. For example, my Patriots take that they're overrated. Like, maybe that's too hot. Maybe it's too cold. Maybe it's just right. So that made me think, what is hot? What is cold? And what is just right? Goldilocks and her porridge. So we decided, with Ted not being here today, because he might have yelled at us during this segment.
Why would Ted yell at us?
Because he would have gotten angry.
This porridge is just right.
See, that's perfect. If the story is being covered and reacted to appropriately, that is what you'll hear. But if it's Andy having a hot take, oh, the offensive line's going to be worse than last year, that's too hot, you'll hear...
This porridge is too hot.
And if we are not paying attention to it enough, or if it's being undervalued, underplayed, you'll hear...
This porridge is too cold.
Perfect. So right out the gates, we talked about this a little bit with Mike Giardi. It has been more than a full month since we have seen the man wearing number 0 in the rivalry jersey photo shoot, Christian Gonzalez. We haven't seen him. Not in a football field.
Nope.
Not doing anything.
Nope.
We've seen him walk around a little bit, but we've seen Jason Tatum walk around a little bit. And you know what we know Jason Tatum isn't doing? Playing to start the season. So I would like to see Christian Gonzalez do something. Fitzy, the Christian Gonzalez situation, is it being covered appropriately, reacted to appropriately, too hot, too cold, or just right?
The Christian Gonzalez situation is not being reacted to appropriately enough. It's too cold.
This porridge is too cold.
That was a pregnant pause. That was a delay for effect.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It's way too cold. We started talking about it earlier this week. I feel like we were the first folks in town. Now you've got former players working as analysts in town talking about it. Mike Giardi, we asked Tom Curran during yesterday's interview, he said he wasn't quite sure if he was going to dial it up to full-blown panic yet, but Giardi giving it a 6.5 out of 10 before we get to Labor Day weekend and then next week when you're going to have all of the Patriots media cartel there documenting every single move, I'm trending towards he's not going to play.
Yeah, too cold. And if you look at this game, I know it's just the opener. This game could be one of those that swings the season. Because there's other games you're supposed to win, right? The real, that October stretch when you face the Browns and the Titans and the Saints. If you want to have your 9-win season, you want to go over on 8.5 wins, you need to win the Raiders game. And if you're going to beat the Raiders, you probably should have your best player on defense on the field for the entire game. It's starting to look like even if he's on the field for some of the game, that it might not even be realistic to see him on the field for part of the game. So I'm going to agree with Fitzy. I'm going to say this is too cold.
This porridge is too cold.
It's too cold.
I like her accent. British?
I couldn't agree more. By the way, the Patriots, remember, that was definitely British. The Patriots coming into the season were favored in 11 out of 17 games. I wonder if the same is still true.
It probably is. I feel like no one's really paying attention. I feel like this is going to slap some people in the face by week two or three. Like, oh, all that we talked about in the offseason about the Patriots, we got a little ahead of ourselves. It's not quite as good or fruitful as we thought it was going to be. Okay, up next, we'll stick with the Patriots.
All right.
Stephon Diggs did not play a single real snap in the preseason. Too hot, too cold, just right.
This porridge is officially too hot.
Too hot.
This porridge is too hot.
We're making too much of this. I do not expect 2007 Randy Moss, who ran right all over through and down the throat of the Jets in his first game of the New England Patriots back in 2007 in a masterful 181-yard touchdown-filled game. No, I'm not looking for that. But the fact is they are load managing. You don't need to see Steph Diggs out there that much. The guy has enough of a body of work, a resume, experience, plenty of tape. They'll be fine. Steph Diggs is going to get you somewhere between 4 and 6 catches for 60 to 70 yards week one. He is the last component of the Patriots offense I'm worried about come week one and beyond.
I am going to go, this porridge is just right. It's being covered properly.
This porridge is just right.
Yeah, I wish I had seen him in game action. And I do. I know Vrabel can say he's ready to go. You know, I manage his reps appropriately. He's ready to go. He's ready to help us win football games, all of that. There is a next step. Has he had anyone dive at his knee yet? Anyone?
Not that I've seen.
No, I don't think so. Because I think if you did that in practice, you'd probably get chewed out by Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. And that is the next step. And I've heard so many players talk about it. Wes Welker was the most obvious one.
You don't know what it's like until someone comes after your recently repaired. Okay.
Yeah, what it feels like, but also how you'll react mentally, physically. Do you start to get a little squirrely and you're like afraid to make certain cuts with guys diving at your leg? So I think this one is being covered properly, but this is a concern. This is the last step in the process. And unfortunately, you won't know the last step until you step on that field at Gillette Stadium against the Raiders for week one.
So I say too hot, you say just right.
This porridge is just right.
All right.
Just right. She sounds like a cute little girl. Goldilocks. Up next, let's switch to a little baseball. Roman Anthony has a .401 on base percentage. He's now batting in the 290s. He's knock, knock, knocking on the door of 300 despite a slow start and despite the fact that he still strikes out quite a bit.
And he's been swinging for the fences.
And he's been adding some pop. Thank you, Fitzy.
Thank you. Welcome,
appreciate
you.
Mean it.
Pleasure.
Roman Anthony. The story, what he's accomplished in just a couple months of Major League Baseball, and not coincidentally, the team has turned around since he joined the club. They're winning better. They're scoring first. He's hitting leadoff home runs. Has the Roman Anthony story from the plate, this ascension to superstar status atop the lineup, has that been covered properly?
He's engaged with the fans and the local media. His jersey is selling like hotcakes. We talk about him glowingly all the time. He's no St. Bregman just as of yet. But he definitely is a sensation and the future of baseball here at Fenway. The national media loves him, and you have people from Boston all the way to Hermosa Beach saying that this guy is what's next in baseball and has superstar.
Thanks, Fitzy.
Hey, you're very welcome, Roman. It's the least I could have done for you, pal. He's hitting for power. He's getting on base. The guy's discipline at the plate is spectacular. I think he is getting the appropriate amount of coverage.
This porridge is just right.
Well, you're wrong.
What?
This porridge has ice in it. It's too cold. It's not being given out.
This porridge is too cold.
Why is that?
I think we are underselling what this guy has done to this baseball team, for this baseball team, how good he is, and the way he's done things differently. I think it's one thing to say what he was doing early on, which was take a lot of pitches, get on base, a lot of walks. He's changed that. He's suddenly swinging early in counts. He's swinging earlier in the game. He's hitting leadoff home runs. The other day, he hits a nice line drive base hit, first pitch of the game. He's great. Added power. This is a guy that he is doing things at a level that is remarkable. I mean, this guy deserves to be the projections. And I know we've seen some Soto comparisons. Juan Soto, who, yeah, he happened to get 760 million. Yeah. I think Anthony's better. I think he's better than Soto. Because Soto has proven himself a little bit of a dink. I think there's a reason why Soto has bounced around from team to team and is not well-liked in
New
York.
He's on his fourth
team.
That's kind of overlooked.
Yeah. This is a guy in Roman Anthony that everybody loves. Bregman loves him. Old guy loves him. Young guy, Marcelo Meyer, who we rode up through the minor leagues with. There was no, like, ill will or anything there.
Oh, give him time, though.
No,
give him time.
Everybody loves him. This guy is the second coming of the natural from the movie. That's how damn good he is. Hopefully there's no, like, blonde women gunshots or anything like that involved in this story, and he just keeps the trajectory. So, yeah, this story with Roman Anthony, I think, in a world where we seem to over-promote everything, I think Roman Anthony is a tad bit under-promoted right now.
This porridge is too cold.
All right, let's go to a random one. This is a random one, and it stems from last night. I'm not sure if you watched Nebraska-Cincinnati at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, they got them a very good quarterback, the Raiola kid.
Yeah, and that's what we want to talk about. First, we should note that the cute couple was in attendance, former Cincinnati
American
Bearcat.
Royalty?
Yep. You had Travis Kelce and his fiancée, Taylor Swift, in the house. Now they're just slumming it at college games.
Slumming it?
I think she likes football.
I think she likes America.
She's a... What?
I think she likes American things.
She's an American.
No, but I'm saying, like, it's not... No, she's not like Mariah Carey.
Like apple pie and Campbell's soup and a Chevy and a this and a that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like, if you ask Taylor Swift, have you ever had a chili dog before? The answer is going to be yes. Not like, you know, like, oh, like I only have sashimi and I have, you know, boiled chicken for dinner. Like, no. She eats real food.
No,
she's
I like
glizzy
her.
Gladiator?
She's a glizzy gladiator. She's glizzy
I
Borden.
I think that's okay. But you brought it up. Nebraska's quarterback. They won the game 20-17, I believe. Dominic Raiola. Mm-hmm. He mimics Patrick Mahomes in everything he does.
All the way down to his look.
His look, his haircut, his walk, his entrance to Arrowhead Stadium. He even started doing the little finger thing when the coach is talking, kind of like, say it again, come at me. Isn't this sociopath behavior? This is the craziest thing. So I want to start first. This is cold. This is being undertold, ice cold.
This porridge is too cold.
The guy is nuts. If I were Patrick Mahomes, I would have a restraining order. First of all, you can't play at Arrowhead Stadium. That's my stadium.
Yeah.
No, we're not doing this whole thing.
Looking like me with the single white female routine.
Yeah, that's where I'm going with this.
It literally is. It's like,
this is cute.
You're
and
not
cool.
Allowed to show. Okay, if there was like, let's say that handsome lad right out there in the Red Sox jersey standing outside the window. Let's say, like, you know, he was playing youth football, right? He's playing flag and he has a headband on like Mahomes does. And he does a jump throw and he runs like him on the sideline, whatever. Like, oh, he's got an
cool.
Idol. That's cool. That he's mimicking his hero.
Yes.
That's great. He's also 12.
This is a guy at Nebraska who is playing in front of a packed house at the same stadium where Patrick Mahomes plays. This is a guy that has aspirations of being a coworker of Patrick Mahomes's in the next couple of years. What's going to happen then? Is he still going to be mimicking Patrick Mahomes when he's the quarterback of the Saints?
Now, if this quarterback, this Dominic Raiola kid, if he were to go to different stadiums and emulate different quarterback styles, like if he were to paint his nails and then cry if he goes to play any place that Caleb Williams had recently played, I would say he's a mimic and he's genius. However, this is more sociopathic. I, too, believe this to be a bit low on the temperature side.
This porridge is too cold.
Before we continue with a couple more, I got some bad news from Fenway Park.
What happened?
Ah, the tarp is back on the field.
Son of a... Andy, you...
Big LL Bean logo back on the field.
They know something.
Something. A storm's a brewing.
But I see fans lining up outside our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. What's
yeah,
up,
I don't
buddy?
See... there's little raindrops in the puddle out here. The radar must
I want
show
this. I want to watch this game. I want to listen to it on my commute to the Cape tonight. I need this. It's just where I have a small place.
your second home is on the Cape and you don't consider that a brag, I'm pretty sure most people would.
Okay. All right.
Okay. You want me to move on?
All right. Where's your boat?
At my mom's house. okay. Up next.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel's rat problem. We're a full week plus into this. And we asked Mike Giardi about it, whether he believes Elliot Wolf is the eyes and the ears of the Crafts. And he's like, well, they like him and they made him stick around. I just feel like we've gone down this road before with Parcells, with Pete Carroll, with Bill Belichick.
They want you to make the dinner, but they won't let you buy. They ought to let you buy the groceries.
When the head honcho, the head coach, the face of the organization doesn't feel like he's fully in control and verbally, publicly expresses doubt in that and says there are rats in his organization. And did I mention he's only about 8 years into his tenure as the boss in Foxborough? This is
8 months.
Ice cold.
Ice
this
cold.
This porridge is too cold.
It is way too cold. And I'll tell you, here's what really concerns me. Since they played like absolute pan-fried derriere last Thursday night at MetLife Stadium down, and you know, because that's where the New York Giants play is North Jersey. Everyone loves it out there. Ever since the Patriots played horribly against the backups of the Giants, you have had nothing go right for the Patriots. Like since the you rats thing, he's walked it back. You've had players get signed, then released. You've got people dinged up. You've got the coach unhappy. The backups don't look good. I've been looking for something to go right for the Patriots. Yeah, okay, you want to say, if the best thing that's happened to the Patriots in the last 10 days is their freaking rivalry jersey release, it's not good for me, guy. Like I think this is also being underreported as well, that Mike Vrabel has issues with upper management and the power structure on his football team. I said
ice cold.
Ice cold.
I think I'm going to protest the Goldilocks drops, guys.
Okay.
Why? You don't like it? What's
no,
wrong?
We'll have to pick some better drops.
Okay.
Maybe you get Brezbot involved.
I'm all for Brezbot. It's a work in progress. We have one more here, Stiz, so don't put him away just yet. We have Aroldis Chapman. And this I'm going to use to validate or poke holes in my own three-point stance from a couple days ago.
You said it should be Cy Young.
I think Aroldis Chapman should be in the conversation for Cy Young. Top five, I know he's probably not going to win it. He doesn't have a boatload of saves. That's one of the big things that differentiates him from the Gagne season that Alex Cora referenced when he was praising his closer. But the 14 now in a row hitless appearances, I think it's up to like 41 in, like, all, I mean, batters faced without a hit, the numbers, the ERA, the fastball, the swagger, and I would add, he's part of the Fenway Park buzz. When you have a closer like him that adds to the buzz of the game day entertainment, as they call it, at a ballpark, he's part of that. It's not the coolest entrance of all time or anything like that.
He's not the psycho for the Marlins that slaps himself
right
in the face.
But he's adding to the value. So I am going to say the Aroldis Chapman season that is he is having, coming off a signing to which he was supposed to be a part of the bullpen, not the closer. He was supposed to be a setup guy. The season he is having is being undersold in ice cold fashion.
Whereas I couldn't agree more.
I don't even think we're using
the drop. No, we're not going to use the drop.
Too cold.
It is too cold. It's too cold because you know how long it's been since a closer won the Cy Young?
14 years.
22.
I was close.
It was 2003.
Why not us? Why not now? You know how long it was? Cornerback to win Defensive Player of the Year before Stephon Gilmore did it?
How long
had
it been?
A quarter of a century.
So it's been about a quarter of a century here as well. That was 2003. Eric Gagne, who, by the way,
special
did
is
it.
Special.
Eric Gagne did it all natural, too. It was just nothing but
We don't need to go down that road. It was a different time. It was a different era, different baseball, different people.
More to the point, the kind of dominance that he's put out, he isn't allowed a hit to a batter his last 41 batters.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He is on an epic run right now.
Yeah.
He looks like he's just as fit, if not more fit, than he was when he began the season. And the fact that his bullpen is mowing guys down and cleaning things up for him. And you're going to add Justin Slayton, which makes life easier. And who knows what Toley's going to do for him as well. You could very well be looking at someone who deserves and gets Cy Young votes. We're not making a big enough story about how good Chapman's been this year.
And since we don't have drops anymore, he does the cool thing where he stares down after the strikeout, where he finishes his release and then just kind of stares there like he's a wrestler
and he's got that freaking V-cut.
Well, jacked.
Because he does like 150 prison pull-ups a day.
All right. What's a prison pull-up?
I like those, the big wide ones where like behind.
Is that real?
I think so.
Oh. I didn't know pull-ups were different in prison. I thought you just hung from a pipe in the ceiling like we have here in the Fenway Park studio, and you did some pull-ups. 617-779-7937. Do you agree or disagree with any of our takes? Too hot, too cold, or just right? Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, I think, is going to be a little bit of the usual controversial segment. We got to talk about Bill Belichick, his debut. His debut against TCU, big TCU weekend for Boston sports. Peyton Tolley, alum of TCU, on the mound at Fenway Park tonight. Monday night, standalone game, Bill Belichick's UNC squad against TCU. Who are you rooting for? And was his divorce, the ongoing ramifications we're still feeling, was his divorce from the Patriots and Robert Kraft the messiest in Boston sports history? Dan Shaughnessy thinks so. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Fitzy has what's trending.
I hate Goldilocks.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
With Bill Belichick, no one really knows who this team is actually going to be. And here's the craziest part. I don't think Bill knows who this team is because he doesn't have the advantage of any preseason games to begin to vet who his team actually is.
That was former Patriots linebacker Chad Brown with us earlier this week here on WEEI Afternoons. He will be broadcasting Bill Belichick's collegiate debut as the head coach at the University of North Carolina Monday night right here on WEEI for Compass Networks. And he says right there, and I think it's interesting, what is Bill Belichick's college football team going to look like? We also know that Freddie Kitchens is his offensive coordinator, so there's a little, it's not like Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator that he was for, you know, the Patriots for X number of years under Belichick, so there's some question about the offense, question about this transfer quarterback, how's Bill going to marry up with the college game and young kids and the hype and the talent and all these things, and then there's also the secondary question of, are you rooting for Bill Belichick? Now, we know at least one person involved with this show will have his footy pajamas on.
Oh, where'd that come from?
Now he's barking. He's barking in the background. That's Stiz. He'll have a cigar. He'll have a Miller Lite. He will be ready to watch Bill Belichick. So before we get into who's rooting for who, Dan Shaughnessy used his column space in the Boston Globe today to write about the Belichick
pocket money on Nesson
debut. And he used the divorce of Bill Belichick and the Patriots. He says it might be the messiest in Boston sports history. And he surprised me a little bit at the end. I'm going to read a little excerpt here real quick. Now it's Belichick's turn. Patriots owners believe Bill's cronyism, poor drafting, and talent evaluation produced 6 years without a playoff win and back-to-back 4-13 seasons. I'm going to inject myself. I believe Please. That as well.
Okay. Editorial note, fine.
Yep, back to the writing from Shaughnessy. Belichick's not getting a statue or a call to the Patriots Hall anytime soon, and it's easy to imagine folks inside the walls of Fort Foxborough sticking pins into hoodie dolls when the Horned Frogs play the Tar Heels on Monday night. Not me. I'm a Bill guy all the way. That is Dan Shaughnessy.
Wow.
A Bill guy all the way, rooting for him in his debut. And that led me to our poll of the day.
We have a poll question.
Yep. At Jumbo Hart on Twitter, at WEEI Afternoons. Will you be rooting for or against Bill Belichick as the legendary former Patriots coach makes his college football debut for the UNC Tar Heels against TCU on Monday night? The two options were go Bill or screw Bill. What do you think the voting says, Fitzy?
73% go Bill.
So clearly Fitzy checked Twitter. 73% said go Bill.
Oh my God, I got it right. I told you I'm good at this.
I know you're on Twitter all the time, so therefore you read it.
I don't check yours on purpose.
Therefore, screw Bill had 27%.
Ken can see my computer screen. I've got porn. I mean, I've got my library open.
Don't bring Ken into this.
I'm just going based on your little flag deviation earlier. You were all worked up because Twitter was talking about the flag in the state of Massachusetts.
Dumb move.
Go Bill, though. 73% are supporting Bill Belichick. Does that surprise you? You think that's in line with what you expected?
I'm actually, I guess that only because I figured there'd be some salty people that are either A, there's but you have a personal history with Belichick.
But that's not why I'm rooting
for most people. A, it's the oversaturation of the Jordan saga. B, the frustration of how things ended. Or C, I still think there is a small sect. Actually, it's a Rhode Island-sized sect of Patriots Nation that's never going to forgive him for the way the Brady saga ended. Or
that's
especially
fair.
How it ended. And that for me, that was all, even though I clung on more to Belichick and the Patriots at first, and I kind of regret it to a certain degree, I stayed on that side loyal to my team. I kind of wish I sided with Brady a little bit more because I feel like it undersold exactly how much Brady meant to and did for this team.
Wow, you wish you rooted for a player more than your team.
I think that's because it a wasn't lot about just, you. Because it wasn't just a player. He was everything.
I am... No, he was just a player.
Oh, look, there was a Yankees fan choking outside of our studio. Oh, he was doing the 2004 ALCS nice. Routine. That's perfect.
Where are the Yankees?
Oh, behind the Red Sox.
Oh, right now anyway. So we had to say that while we could because they still have a higher percentage to make the playoffs chances. But I thought it was interesting that Shaughnessy is a Bill guy.
That why would that surprise anybody? Like
I don't know. I feel like he hates everything. Old, I feel like I think of him
crusty,
the way
old crusty
he
dad.
Thinks of me. Like he hates everything, and he now I see him sitting down Monday night rooting like he's like Stiz. He's gonna have his footy pajamas on, a Chapel Bill shirt on, rooting for Bill Belichick.
Can I also say that I think some of it has to do with the fact that I believe guys like Shaughnessy don't like the way that Team One Patriot Place has kind of tried to gerrymander or at least rewrite history in recent years?
Yes, and he got into some of that in his column today, and that's fair. I mean, there's a lot of layers to this. Divorce, the mutual parting of ways, the amicable mutual parting of ways that we were sold at that press conference January a couple years ago. And then we come out later, Robert's on podcast saying, well, that's why I had to fire his ass, basically sounding like
I wish convinced. He didn't do all those podcasts.
Yeah, no, he probably shouldn't. I'm not saying he's full Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, whole different level. Did you know he traded Michael Parsons yesterday?
No, and Micah?
It reminded me of that fantasy football thing that's been making the rounds where the guy drafted Brian Robinson one overall instead of Bijan Robinson. do the Packers know that they were traded Michael Parsons for two first-round picks? And
oh, man, they better get a refund.
Yeah, they might want to avoid that trade.
Yeah, how quickly can you turn a trade around?
Could it be more embarrassing than to have your son, the assistant GM, be like, Micah, Dad.
Did you see the, Micah. By the way, did you see the Micah Parsons on, like, it wasn't a full blown, like, grandma, we free. Like, Antonio
I signed
Brown.
$137 guaranteed $1 million contract.
He
I'd
was
be jumping too.
Like, Micah Parsons was doing cartwheels and jumping up and down.
His life
there
dreams.
Was no question in our mind that Michael could bring us a lot of resources on a trade.
Andy Hart, WEEI. Jerry, who's Michael? Just one quick question for clarification. Who's Michael? Michael Jackson? Michael, like, that was embarrassing. I don't know how Cowboys fans, because you not only have to get over the loss of a player, your best player, but you have to get over, like, oh my God, that guy still runs the team, and he's the one who made the decision, probably for reasons that don't really fall in line with reality. But so, Fitzy, you'll be rooting for Bill Belichick on Monday night.
I am going to be rooting for a great game.
Oh, stop it. Prefer... You got to either root for him or against him. Get
why
off the fence.
Why am I not allowed to Ordway?
No, we don't do that here. But you have an opinion. It needs to be strong.
For God's sake.
Jesus, talk, you're rooting
sports
for
talk
him or
radio.
Against him.
I thought this was a dialogue.
No, we're not. We have takes. They're like Goldilocks. They're hot.
Why can't we have a conversation? Why can't it just be spirited?
And plus, you can't sit down and root for, like, there's two teams
all right,
playing.
You know, fine.
You want one to win.
Fine. All right, fine. You know what? I'll be rooting for UNC.
Yeah, not me. I could not be more of a Horned Frogs
heard.
Fan. Like I am really excited about this game. Now it could go really poorly for me. Somebody was telling me like there's a lot of late money on UNC that maybe the shops know something.
Really?
I was reading something about that. Maybe that's the case, whatever. But I think Chad Brown's right. They have no idea. Bill doesn't know. He's never gone to battle with this.
They flipped this entire
Gio
roster.
Lopez? Geo something sure. Kid is quarterback transfer from South Alabama. Whatever
is there
he is.
A blue chip player on for UNC on either side of the ball?
No, they do not have an all ACC player. Chad Brown told us that the other day. Yep. They do not have a single first team all ACC player.
There is no Jeremiah Smith. There is no, there is no pass
Jeremiah
rush.
Smith.
I'm just saying.
No, not even close. No, they're in year one of a multi-year turn the roster over rebuild. Even though they did. 70 new players this offseason?
Is Bill... How all right, honestly, let's say they start...
How many years does he have?
Let's say they go 7-5. Okay?
Okay.
And
next I win my
go,
bet.
And woo! Next year they go 9-3. Okay?
Okay.
How many years is Bill there for? Or does he just do 2 years and say, all right, I turned it around, thanks?
Well, he has 3-30 guaranteed. He signed a $5 million contract total. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll see. You know, there was a story in the Globe talking about some of the local professors talking about, like, this is great. There's a lot of buzz. It's good for the economy. Bars are expecting to open not at 1 o'clock, but at like 9 a.m., double the revenue,
dude,
all these things.
Game day is going to be on a Monday at Chapel Hill.
Like, is that true?
Yeah, I believe so.
That, yeah, they are.
I thought they were awaiting game day. Anyway, but there was a guy like, we're kind of also wondering if we sold our soul. Did we sell our soul, and what will the payoff be for selling our soul to Bill Belichick in the new regime?
Andy.
But I'll be rooting. Yes.
Can I ask you something in all seriousness? So you're rooting against him. How do you... Yes. The guy brought you 6 Super Bowls, gave you, like, your career.
So
you worked right alongside. I just don't understand how you could be so, like, cynical and like, oh, I'm rooting against him. The guy brought us 6 Super Bowls.
Have you seen the offseason? Have you seen the ridiculousness? Have you seen Jordan? Also, during his tenure here, did you see him being unprofessional and rude and just really not all that easy to work with or nice to people around him when he was a dictator and a bully?
A dictator and a bully is, I think, a bit strong.
That
was his strategy.
I actually thought it was quite professional
of me. His personality. Like, I don't know. I just don't see how you can root against someone who's brought this region so much success.
Very easily.
Yeah, wait, clearly.
I mean, is he the coach of the Patriots anymore? I also root for the Patriots. I root for the Red Sox. I'm not one of those that jumps ship and roots for, I'm going to root for Mookie with the Dodgers or Brady with the Bucks. I rooted against Brady with the Bucks. He's not the coach anymore. He's not the quarterback anymore. And I don't really like how he handled himself in recent years. I think he's been a factor in some of this back and forth. So you put that all in a blender like you do for your little shakes sometimes behind the glass there, and I'll be rooting against Bill Belichick on Monday. It's very easy. I want him to be humbled a little bit. I don't like the tone of some of the things he said, even most recently. Oh, I always wanted to go to college football. Did you? So you should have gone to college football.
Billy said beat Duke.
Yeah, like the whole charade that they've been putting on down there, the whole thing has rubbed me the wrong way. So therefore, and I told you, once he gets his butt whooped by TCU, once I get that out of the way and he gets humbled on his opening day, maybe I'll turn the corner. Maybe I'll start to root for him. Maybe I'll get an affinity for his team because we're going to be paying attention to it. But for game one against TCU, I'm all purple. I'm all silver. I'm all horned frogs. I'm all
you're
horned
all,
up.
You're all horned up?
All horned up for Monday night. 617-779-7937. Are you rooting for or against Bill Belichick? Up next here on WEEI, we got to talk about something that's far less important than Bill Belichick's debut. We held our fantasy draft last night. It's the morning show. It's the midday show. It's the afternoon show. Producers, on air, everybody's involved. It was a 12-man draft. Actually, it was a 13-man draft last night because our guys Stiz and Ted sharing a team. And let's just say it went about as well as you think it might have. A little fantasy football talk. We know that lights people up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
There's Stiz.
Stitz and Ted are in the house.
I'm not on the clock yet, though, right?
who's the master blaster?
That's Stitz and Ted, bro.
Oh, are you on the phone with A, your drug dealer, B, your bookie, or C, Ted?
You better be talking to Ted. I think he's on the phone with Ted.
He should be. The co-manager.
Live now to the war room. Ted Johnson's on the phone.
The first pick in the Master Blasters era, Ashton Genty.
I like it. That was a good combo. Good pick.
Had to call the big guy real quick, though, but we got it done.
That was just a little snippet from the live stream last night. Of
the only audio that was clean all night.
Jones and Keith Fantasy League here at WEEI. 12 teams. One of those teams is co-managed by Stitz and Ted. That would be our guy Stiz and Ted Johnson. Stiz was the one on the stream making the picks because Ted had TV last night, but Stiz was checking in with Ted via the cell phone, working the phones.
Smoking a giant cigar.
And then taking a lot of Patriots, probably higher than he should have taken them, including the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. And he smoked a cigar. It was definitely an interesting experience. We all had snafus. I believe both you and I, Nick, had auto draft oops. I didn't mean that.
I had 2 auto draft oopses because one, I didn't realize the timer was on. I was too busy interacting with everybody on Keith's live stream. And I thank the Dork Boys as well as the Midday Fellows for setting that up. So I accidentally drafted Travis Hunter and Brock Purdy. Now, spoiler, my quarterback is Joe Burrow. And you and I are playing each other week one.
Really?
And you know what?
Love it.
ESPN has
you going down.
ESPN has us. Where am I going down? To the Victor's Lounge?
I don't know.
ESPN has us 0.5 separated in the projected score.
Really? That close?
It's going to be a good one. We may have to put... That's a 6-pack.
Projected scores are so... Yeah, let's do it right now. Stiz, open up your Google Doc. We have a 6-pack bet here.
Just straight up dub. Whoever gets the win.
The dub on opening fantasy weekend between the... I haven't changed my team name yet. I'm thinking I'm Andrew's Astounding Team or something.
Oh, that's... that. Yo, so you let them... I'm the bag grabbers in honor of... the segment on the Midday Show, which used to be part of the Rich Keefe Show at night. You may want to change that.
Maybe I'll just stick with it, though. It's unique. Everybody else is changing there, so I actually...
It's easy to know. Like, no one's going to be like, hey, who's Hart's team?
Actually, I think some people are like, who's Andrew? That's Andy.
And people in the stream last night were also like, oh, boy. You know, Andy focuses and takes the draft very seriously while some of us are, you know, sipping on Oktoberfest and having a good time. And then people in the comment stream were like, oh, boy, Andy looks like a ton of fun at a draft.
Just to clarify.
Okay.
This league in some form goes back a few years. And in previous years, my son has sort of been my co-GM, helped me pick some talent. Now he's away at college, so I had to have him on FaceTime, and I had to have the stream up, and I had to mute you guys and talk to him.
So you had all sorts of different lights on your face during the broadcast.
There was a lot going on there.
You had your son on FaceTime. You had a TV on. You had the computer on.
Yes. There was a lot going on, and still I drafted a team that, according to ESPN Fantasy and their post-draft grades, A.
What'd I get?
A.
You know what I got?
You get an FU. No. I don't think
expected.
I believe the only A's were Billy Lanny, who's on vacation and didn't take part in the live stream, and myself. There were a lot of C's.
Another very fun aspect to the draft, Stiz could attest to this as well. I think Dan Ball and Justin Turpin. Turpin had just produced the Coach's Show, talking to Billy O'Brien over at Chestnut Hill. I'm not sure exactly what part of the city he landed in or if he made it to the South Shore. And Dan Ball was on a vacation day. Each of them entered and left the chat via some sort of like...
Yeah, what was going on there?
Some sort of hottie spotty that they were on, bad internet, or they just thought it was a good joke, or they were sharing dial-up.
It was very weird.
In and out at least 50 times.
They kind of flooded the little side of the screen chat area.
Couldn't even have a chat because it was Dan Ball left the chat. Dan Ball's back in the draft. Dan Ball left the draft. Justin Turpin entered the draft. Justin Turpin left the draft.
I will say, I think my season hinges on a Patriot. I really do.
Who that?
Ramondre.
You know what? Down. Red Knight's going down.
Yeah, I'm in trouble. I mean, I have... Saquon with my first pick and all of that, but I took Ramondre.
Are you not nervous that Saquon has peaked?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
I generally believe that guys that have those special seasons like he had a year ago almost always get hurt and don't come close to a special season the following year. The only reason I took him is because I think the Eagles are that good and the line is that good.
Yeah.
And that might carry him even if he's not quite as good. I have serious concerns, and we all know that one of the 12 teams...
has to win.
Well, yes, but we don't even know what we're playing for or what we're playing...
I thought we were putting hams on this, so it's a little juice.
Why is a 10 a ham?
I have no idea. Has anyone ever asked Keith why?
No, everybody says that,
where does one get a $10 ham? If one were to get a $10 ham, that is probably not a very good ham.
No. A ham to feed the whole family?
For 10 Hell bucks?
No. No chance. That's a rotten ham.
That is a ham full of bad dreams, hog feed, and salt.
Yeah, but I'll put some... More important isn't the what you're playing for. It's what you're playing to avoid, that last place thing.
Oh, do we have a punishment yet?
We don't have an official one, but there is talks that we're going to have some sort of punishment for last place.
Somebody should have to take the Fourier Merlone and Stevens Memorial Borat bathing suit and jump in the ocean.
Not doing that.
Do it.
Not doing
it. It was amazing.
Yeah, no. No, I don't. Anything that, like, is nope.
Andy, if a majority of the league votes on the punishment, then you... Does it have to be... All right, this is a good question overall to sports fans listening everywhere. Does a fantasy football punishment have to be unanimously agreed upon? Can it be chosen by the commissioner in some sort of
unanimous
Order 66 or just a majority?
Has to be unanimous. We also even have a question. The commissioner has gone rogue. He believes that it isn't about wins and losses. It's about points. So the last place
team... I'm not doing aggregate points.
He believes the last place team is not the one that has the worst record, but the one that has the fewest points.
Kick rocks with lousy socks.
Yeah,
no way.
I don't know. But he's the commissioner, and he sets everything up, so we might have to go down that road.
Stanley, quick question for you. Now that you're almost 24 hours removed from it and probably brushed your teeth after that cigar, how did you enjoy your first major fantasy football draft experience?
That was major?
So that was actually my second. I did it last year with Keith, and that was my first, which I believe I came in second or third place. I didn't do that bad.
First loser.
Yeah, I saw Hart warming up for that. I was like, watch out, Hart bomb coming in 3-2.
I had a great time last night. My first half of picks, you know, you guys saw me. I was working the phone hard with Ted coordinating our picks. Once Ted had to do TV, I was kind of on my own.
Yeah. It's like watching Elliot Wolf's brother, Ricky.
Got a little sloppy. Well. Some people in the comments were calling me middle schooler. There's some funny audio when I took Drake May. Andy was kind of busting my chops, but I had fun. Great time.
I kind of don't mind having a good backup because that means someone else doesn't have that guy to start.
You should have a good backup.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear the moment that I took Drake May?
Sure. Wait, is it offensive to Drake May? Because we do need to talk to Drake May next Tuesday on the Patriots Monday, right?
Stiz, you can play it now only if you promise we can tell him in our Patriots Monday on a Tuesday interview next week
that
our producer Stiz took.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
Okay,
who took Drake?
Oh my God.
Super Stack. Stiz.
If you're in it for a penny, you're in it for a pound, boys. Let's go.
You're playing to, you're playing to win.
This is how we do it.
Stiz, what are you doing?
This is how we do it.
You just took Drake May.
Unreal.
Yeah, so
I
love
Andy.
Did
you know you took
Drake May?
What
are you doing?
Yeah. With you have Mahomes and May.
You know, the M's.
And Andy said you were going to trade, right? You were looking for a trade. J.J. McCarthy, was it?
I'll trade you J.J. McCarthy. He was my accidental auto pick.
Why are you out on a guy who is throwing to two of the 15 best receivers in football?
I'm just not sold on him. Not sold at all. But I might keep him. I might keep him. We'll see. Anyway, I'm sure we'll update the records along the way, certainly with you and I going head-to-head to open.
Is that in the doc? That is for one six-pack.
One six-pack of Miller Lite on the line. Hart versus Fitzy. Fitzy versus Hart. Week one, baby.
Go.
Right now, be caller number 9 to the contest line at 617-931-0937, and you'll score a pair of passes to the 2004 Red Sox Championship Cruise with Kevin Millar and teammates on September 14th. Limited tickets are still available at cityexperiences.com. That's caller number 9 right now, 617-931-0937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons at Fenway Park, where the tarp is still on the field. It is time for The Drive, and in The Drive, we're going to hear a little bit from Peyton Toley, him finding out that he was starting tonight, and also Alex Cora's comments on his debuting starter. That's up next in The Drive here on WEEI Afternoons.